It's 88.5 KCSN, and we are proud to welcome to the radio station Run River North. Alex and John are with us. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
This is, in some ways, a homecoming of sorts. Why don't we talk about the history of the band? Go back to even Monsters Calling Home. Give the audience a sense of how the band became and what it was pursuing and, you know, initially and how it's evolved.
Sure. About 2-3 years ago, 2011, I believe, I wrote a song called Monsters Calling Home, and I wanted to audition for this Asian American competition, and they were having it at the Nokia Theater, so I figured it was a free ticket to perform on that stage. I wanted to fill the audience, or to fill the stage with as many friends of mine as possible, so I knew some mutual friends who were in some bands. If you're Asian American and you play an instrument in the Valley, it's a pretty small circle, so I found Daniel, John, and Joe and Sally, and then Daniel knew Jennifer through some violin circles, I guess, and we all got together. They all listened to the song. They liked the song. They thought it was a great opportunity, so we all performed just to do that audition. We didn't even have a band name. We just did Monsters Calling Home. We lost to a guy that, you know, had two yo-yos. We're actually good friends now. He reached out on Facebook, and he just enjoys the bitterness in my voice all the time when I bring it up. But then we did that. We lost, but we got some fans. Kevin Bronson at Buzz Bands, right. did a little post. Angry Asian Man Phil Yu, he said we were his favorite band. And I think based off of those two blog posts, we were like, okay, let's try to do another show, see if we have any more songs on our belt. We wrote some more songs. We played a show at the Hotel Cafe. We decided for the year of, I think, 2012 or 13, we were just going to be our own label and promote a song every month by recording it, putting a video out, and I think by the third video, it was Fight to Keep. We decided to do it in our Hondas,
right.
And then that story happened where Honda punked us and got us on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, but that becomes an interesting twist.
Yeah.
Tell me about your conception on the video inside the car, and then how it turned to getting tied to an actual Honda, you know, alignment.
Yeah, well, what happened was John was actually recording for another band at that time, and we were outside the studio. We couldn't afford the studio time to do our next single, so we just went into my car outside the studio, recorded a different song for another friend of ours, found the acoustics nice, thought, okay, we'll try to do this, but expand it a little bit, found out that John drives a Honda Fit, I have a Honda CR-V, Sally and Daniel both drive Accords, and so we thought, oh, we'll just pretend to make a commercial, hoping that, you know, if they reached out, we would have the Honda logo and make sure that we were doing this for Honda. And somehow, I think three different people in the ad agency for Honda just found the video and just shot out the ranks. Honda corporate liked it, and so that's when, yeah, the ad agency came to us, and they were trying to figure out what to do with us. And they hatched the plan. They kind of fed us and said, oh, yeah, we're just going to have you play and perform for executives. And we didn't know. We thought maybe, like, we would get free cars or something because we saw some.
Well, that's a pretty big maybe.
Right, yeah. So we were hoping that. So I think if you see the video, the disappointment in my face isn't that, like, oh, my God, we get to be on Kimmel. It was like, oh, we don't get the cars yet. So, and then, you know, Jennifer cried. And it really was an emotional, like, roller coaster. And, you know, I think, you know, the ad agency people felt bad for a second for punking us, but it was really worth it. And to do that, we performed Kimmel that day, so we didn't even have to process. We didn't have time to process that we're going to get on national TV. We were just so excited to have that opportunity.
Light in a sea of black.
of life to tree. And would they know of a tear that cries too deep in the night? The night, you know, they call now. Nobody knows how they beat all. Sheepskins reaching out their claws, stomping their feet, never letting up their dust, choking out their lungs. Told to be a father, growing up into a fatherless son. Oh my son, won't you come? Won't you come? Son, oh my son, won't you come? Won't you come? Son. Won't you come, son, oh my son, won't you come, won't you come?
Talk to me about the direction, the sound, the interest in the sound of the band and how that came to be and what's inspired some of those choices.
So initially when I first joined the band, I knew Alex as a singer-songwriter. He would write the most beautiful lyrics I've, you know, heard from a peer of mine.
Well, thanks, John.
Emotionally, his tone and his voice was magnificent. He could go really big, he could go really soft, and that's my personal style of drumming, and I wanted to match that. And when he brought Monsters Calling Home, it had all the forces of, you know, upbeat. Also, it had the forces of being really big and strong. And so when we get together as a band, we all have that desire to be emotional, to be big, to be bombastic. And That's kind of funny because our band name Run River North, it kind of describes our sound. If you listen to our album that just came out, we have songs like Growing Up that are very soft, you know, like Streams. And then we have songs like The End of Lying Beast or In the Water where it gets really bombastic, a little, you know, there's ruckus in there, and that's our sound. We love that, and we drive for that. We have this huge dynamic of going soft and loud, and that's kind of like why we decided Run River North. It was a good idea to just be big and soft at the same time.
But you also in mentioning that when you talked about Monsters Calling Home, there was also a sociocultural aspect of that. You know, a generational. Describe that.
Yeah. That song, I think, what spoke to the members of the band and the reason why it's us six as opposed to some other, you know, group, is that all of our parents are immigrant families, and we all could relate to the lyrics that I wrote, and the kind of sentiment that I wanted to bring to this direction of the band was to tell the story of immigrant kids, because I think after our generation, it's going to be very different. Our kids are going to speak English, know the culture, as opposed to us. We grew up in this, you know, our parents left Korea to come here to forsake their culture, kind of to assimilate here. And that language barrier, that cultural barrier, that kind of brings out a bunch of tension and interesting stories. And somehow I just was able to find five other people that kind of had the same skeletons in their closet. And so when we sing about these songs and when we're coming together with our different influences, because, you know, John comes from a very jazz and, you know, kind of hard rock background, classically trained violinist, and all of it, the core, I guess when we come together and kind of plant the songs in our garden of the band, what comes out, no matter what, how we express it and how we sing it, comes from the fact that we do have parents that we want to try to honor rightly and at the same time try to make our own path. We have finances that we need to take care of. This isn't just like we want to get on the biggest stages and be famous, but, you know, we do understand collectively the sacrifices that our parents have made, but at the same time, how do we make our own identity to go past that? And so I think that's the whole, yeah, the socioeconomic aspect of it.
There's a fight to be won for the love you find at home. Work to be done for you rest your weary bones. Finding peace don't come to everyone I know. So I will love in this life till I finally have to go. Said I will love in this life till I finally have to go. A wrinkle of my life, and I hear so many times it'll be over if I blink twice. Please forgive if I don't walk off that plank stuck in your eye. I've got my life to love, here to take what's mine. I've got my life to love, here to take what's mine. Just a matter of time. Forgetting all you've got, so won't you dance under the sun? Growing old feels like you're giving up your soul. I'd rather give it freely to the ones that I call home. I ain't scared, not afraid of the world in front of me. Found my way without your help. Take my breaks with my sins. Do as I do, please, with my friends till the end. There lies my loyalty. With my friends till the end, my life's their loyalty. I used to close my eyes till I'd stood under my bed. Now they're open wide to the monsters in my head. Instead of claws, they whisper lies, sinking fear in quiet steps. So I'll fight in the light till I give my final breath. Said I will fight in the light till I give my final breath. Oh, I will fight in the light till I give my final breath. Said I will fight in the light till I give my final breath. It's just a matter of time. Giving all you've got, so won't you dance with the sun? Growing old feels like you're giving up your soul. Rather give it freely to the ones that I call home. Growing up, child, it's just a matter of time. Giving all you've got, so won't you dance with the sun? Growing old feels like you're giving up your soul. Rather give it free to the ones that I call home. Growing up, child, is just a matter of time. Forgiving all you've got, so won't you dance under the sun? Growing old feels like you're giving up your soul. I'd rather give it freely to the ones that I call home.
When we were introduced to the sound of the band, it worked backwards, as opposed to us thinking, oh, a couple of the members of this band went to see Sun, and you know, we should be like acknowledging the fact that here's this band with a, you know, a major label contract. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the sound of the band, And Phil Eck has really defined for this radio station a great number, you know, from the Shins to Fleet Foxes. You know, he's really defined a lot of the bands that have been core to this. How did you connect with Phil, and what influence did he have on the overall concept and making of the record?
So when our label Network, they asked us to come up with a list of producers we wanted to work with. We had a pretty long list, and Phil Eck was one of them. And when we got onto the phone to have a conversation with Phil, he was like, "I like your guys' stuff. You like me. Let's work together." And we're like, "All right, let's do it." And
we just a simple date.
Yeah. We chose him because we felt like he allowed us to be creative. He didn't want to make like hit records in a sense, even though a lot of his records are very popular. He really wanted us to keep the integrity of our sound and the direction we wanted to go with. And so that's the initial reason why we wanted to work with him. Also, he wanted to work with us. We felt so like unworthy of that. It's like, why? We still don't know till this day. Alex is like, why does Phil Egg want to work with us?
I feel like it's another Honda like commercial that's going to happen later on.
Another
really
twist
Phil
is going to happen. Yeah. Really, Phil? You finally punked us down?
Yeah, and we'll finally get those cars that I wanted. But no, I think...
maybe you can afford to buy them.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. But I think one of the things that we learned when we were up there, another thing that drew us was that we were going to go record. He only records in Seattle and a couple studios, one of them being Avast Records, Avast Studio. And so it was this great opportunity for us to kind of get out of our shell, get out of our comfort zone. We can't go run home to the valley. We had to go up there with our instruments and figure out a way to make it work within the time period. And that trial by fire, and knowing that he's worked with, at least for me personally, like work with vocalists that I, you know, look up to, and I kind of influence a lot of what I do, like Robin Pecknold and James Mercer from the Shins, knowing that he was going to, you know, help me out with the vocals and stuff, and make sure that our vocals were on point, and having that was really great. Just it was a lot of learning, a lot of uphill battles, but I think we grew up a lot as a band. It was
what was the bedside manner? You know, because we talk a lot, and you know, the relationship, there's different approaches a lot of producers have. And everything you said makes sense on paper.
Yeah.
It makes total sense. And it seems like ideal. But Phil is known as being a guy who doesn't want to calculate or fabricate. So how did he impart some of the lessons? Was it just, we haven't got it yet, you can do better? I mean, what were some of the drivers?
That was mainly it. We would get into the studio, each person, and he would hear something, and he would just push us to do as many tracks as we can to kind of get that sound. And him just being a perfectionist, and him just saying all throughout the whole process, like, I want to make a really good record. I want to be proud of this, and every single part of this is going to be great. And he was there sitting in that chair. He was in the studio more than anyone else in the band, and he was always there to just do one more take. We're going to do one more take. And just to kind of, I don't know, push us to not be comfortable and not be settling with
satisfied.
Satisfied. And so it almost was, it was a little taxing, not going to lie. But I think, it was a trial by fire. He just really had a really high standard of what he envisioned our sound to be. And we just came up, you know, as a group every day to figure out how we can get to that point and kind of satisfy ourselves. And it was like having another, you know, Korean parent.
Father's girl is wary from the like a spirit from a wineskin bud. Settled by your sister like it's never going back. Mother's crying now with a different kind of sadness. Sam can't shift between a promise and a habit. River run out of trees into the sun. Lake, river, wind. There's fire coursing through your blood. There's gold in your hair on silver lines. I know that they're scared or they're rushing to the wind, but you let them in. No. Rushing like a spirit from a wineskin bag. Settled by your sister with your heart in her hand. There's love in your words and she'll learn it so. I hear her laughing and it sounds like gold. It sounds like gold. It sounds like gold. It sounds like gold. Sam's asleep between his love and a garden.
Speaking of the live show, tonight, you know, you're at the Troubadour and you're going to do your album release party. And you have been building your live presence, and tonight it's sold out. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's going to be a great celebration. And then Thursday night, you're doing a show at Amoeba, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for free.
6 p.m.?
6 p.m.
I don't know. Does the Amoeba sell out? I guess maybe not the fire marshal decides who can get in and who can't, but yeah. Let's see if we can get as many people out there. It's great having you in here. You know, Kevin Bronson, as you know, does a show here. And as we expressed to you, we're here to support local artists as much as we can. And the very fact that you, you know, are literally, you know, of our family and of our neighborhood.
Yeah, same zip code.
You know, it's this, we literally have to engage more often. So we fully expect you to come back and do some more things with us. We're already hatching our plans.
Awesome, yeah.
We won't punk you. Anything I say we're going to do, we'll do it as much as
thank you.
I express that it'll be done. It may not go as well as we all hope, but hey, you know what? We'll take a flyer at it. But we're really excited for you and happy for you and just hope that everything that's been going the right way so far and the hard work you're doing continues to grow. We wish you nothing but continued success. Don't get too big time, though, because we're going to have you back and we're going to do more things with you. But we appreciate you coming out today to KCSN.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It's Run River North Live on 88.5 KCSN.